money. Quickly to Wall. Wall measures. Beal gets open for three. Dagger! They don't have any time.
Here comes Pierce with 5 seconds left. Pierce with three. Pierce with two. Pierce fall away at the horn. It's gone!
Morris, Ball, Beal, and Gortat. Porter can't find anybody. Gives it to Wall. Working against Bradley for three.
Last time I heard it was at halftime, it was a mild calf issue. I don't know. I haven't talked to him or the doctors after. But we'll see how he feels tomorrow. Doubt if he plays, but you never know.
Scott, this is kind of a mini look at how you set the rotation up going into the playoffs for the coming up.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty good look. Knowing this game, we want to get a win. We want to feel good about ourselves going into the last couple of days of the season, going into the playoff preparation. But yeah, it's going to be a tighter rotation. You know, you got to compete. It's the best of seven after this next game, and first to four, and every possession is important. You can't disappoint your teammates, so I'm going to have to find guys that are going to compete and do it as much as whatever it takes. John, most likely not. But he's definitely going to travel with us. He's had some good work, you know, on a practice yesterday, and he had high minutes, and he was pushing himself on both ends. So you're always worried about his legs when he comes back with game shape, but I think he's done a great job with our staff and our medical team to put him in this position where he can play a good amount of minutes. We tested him in Cleveland with, I think, 38 minutes. I don't know what he ended up tonight. Gave us great minutes and great effort.
Hey friends, you just heard from Wizards head coach Scott Brooks saying that Otto Porter and John Wall are almost definitely going to be out on Wednesday night for the Wizards' final game of the regular season against the Orlando Magic. So we are going to talk about that in depth later. But first, let me say welcome. This is Locked On Wizards Podcast. My name is Noah Getzel, and I'm the Wizards' extra beat reporter alongside my co-pilot, co-partner in crime, best backcourt podcasters in the Eastern Conference, huh? This is Bryna Kramer, by the way. How's it going, Bryna?
I'm good, Noah. Those are some strong words to describe our duo.
I don't know if podcasts can actually have a backcourt. I have no idea what that means, but
either way,
we're talking a little too much. Anyway, you are listening to Locked On Wizards, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Local experts every day with the biggest stories facing the Wizards. We've got lots of inside analysis, and we partner with Wizards Extra, and you should follow them on Twitter to get all of your pregame videos of warm-ups, post-game videos of the player interviews in the locker room, Coach Scott Brooks, and a lot more. And so tonight we are talking about the Wizards snapping their four-game losing streak and potentially previewing a playoff matchup against the Celtics. Wizards won it 113-101 and really took control in the second half. We are also going to talk about those comments you just heard from Scott Brooks, where two of the starters are pretty much certainly not going to play against the Magic, which still has heavy implications for the playoffs. The Wizards could finish anywhere between 6th and 8th. They need to win to move up in the standings, but we'll talk about those situations and whether, you know, it's the right call to rest those guys heading into the playoffs. And they'll have a few days between Wednesday and either Saturday or Sunday before playoffs start. And finally, we're going to talk a little bit about the Rookie of the Year competition this year. It boils down to Ben Simmons versus Donovan Mitchell. And they both have made a great case. Even Jason Tatum has made a solid case. He's not going to win it. He was on display here against the Celtics. But we heard from John Wall, and he didn't really take a strong stance, but he thinks that back in the day, eight years ago, when he was having his rookie season, he thought he should have been co-rookie of the year. Of course, Blake Griffin, who didn't play the previous year because of an injury, he ended up taking the award home. So it's kind of a similar situation here with Ben Simmons. We'll get into all that, but first, let's start with the game here. Tuesday night at Capital One Arena, Bryna, what did you see that changed in the second half that allowed the Wizards to... They ended up holding the Celtics to 38%. I'm glad we have some stats to talk about now, because for a while I thought we were going into this podcast blind. The stats hadn't been working too well. But what do you think changed in the second half?
I mean, I think, well, first of all, Jaylen Brown, you know, he wasn't scoring as well. I mean, in the first quarter he went off. But so that obviously played a part in it. But I think it was also just, I mean, they refocused themselves on defense. They started getting stops. And as Brooks has been saying all year, when you play good defense and you start getting stops, it's going to lead to good offense. And I think that was what something they were lacking in the first half, and especially that first quarter. They just were turning the ball over. They weren't getting good stops. And, I mean, it really affected their offense. I mean, Boston also was having a slightly off game in the beginning too, except for Jaylen Brown. But yeah, so I think the recommitment to defense in the second quarter, in the second half, and especially that third quarter, I mean, that really turned the game around.
Mm-hmm. And one guy who Scott Brooks mentioned as, you know, one of the catalysts for that defensive change was Kelly Oubre.
Yeah.
And it was his defense effort on Jaylen Brown in that shooting guard position where Jaylen, as we mentioned, he almost outscored the Wizards in the first quarter. He had 21 points. He hit 5 3-pointers. Wizards only scored 22, and it looked like they were going to be tied until there was a late whistle. You know, John Wall just exploded by everybody like he normally does, and
right.
got to a free throw line. So I think it was noticeable that there were no comfortable threes after the first quarter, and in the first half the Celtics hit 9 of 18 threes. In the second half, I believe they were 5 of 15. They ended up being 13 of 39. Sorry if my math is a bit fudged there, but it was basically, yeah, they held them, you know, there were no easy shots per se.
Right.
And then it translated into Kelly Oubre's offense at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I think Kelly Oubre, especially when you're talking about what changed in the second half, I mean, Kelly Oubre starting the second half in place for Otto Porter, I mean, that matched him up, like you said, with Jaylen Brown, and he was really, I think... When Oubre plays with the starters, I think it makes a big difference in his confidence. And, you know, he mm-hmm. wants to prove that he is good enough to start and is good enough to play, you know, with the likes of John and Brad and Keith and everyone else. So I think he really takes it as a challenge, and he always seems to step his game up when he gets the chance to start. And even though it was just the second half, I think that really helped. I mean, obviously, Oubre, like, it helped his game, but it helped, you know, just the entire team's game tonight.
Yeah, and I think that's the case not just with Oubre. I mean, Oubre, it particularly shows that when he's on the bench, he's, you know, trying to do too much and doesn't really...
Right, he's trying to be the star of the bench.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you have Satoransky playing with the starters, his numbers inflate tremendously in terms of assists, getting open shots that wouldn't be there if he was on the bench, maybe. And even guys like Mike Scott, he played a lot of the second half because of Porter's injury. So he was in a power forward role with Markieff playing some center. And Scott had 12 points. He shot 6 of 9, although he missed both his three-point attempts.
Yeah.
He also had 8 rebounds and 3 assists. So
yeah, that was a really – yeah, I mean, he kind of had been struggling for most of February and, like, the beginning of March. But over these last, like, 2 or so weeks, he's definitely improved his game a lot. And I think – it's at the right time, you know, going into playoffs where he's definitely going to crack the rotation. I mean, like you said, especially when Porter was out, I mean, he even cracked the 8-man rotation that we had used or that Brooks used in the second half. So, I mean, Mike's picking up his game at the right time. I mean, and mm-hmm. he's been one of my favorite players all season. So I'm happy about it.
So essentially 8 players played for the Wizards. And Scott Brooks said this is, you know, more or less going to be the lineup that comes out in case unless there's an injury or foul trouble or something else crazy happening. It's just basically going to be Mike Scott, Kelly Oubre, Tomas Satoransky, and Jan Mahimny coming off the bench. All of them contributed pretty nicely tonight. Let's read off some of the numbers. If I'm reading stats, we may as well start with John Wall. So he had 29 points, 12 assists, which surpassed 5,000 for his career. I forgot the exact people, but he's part of elite company, scoring 10,000 points and 5,000 assists at age 27. I think it's Magic Johnson, Isaiah Thomas, Chris Paul, and Stephon Marbury, who are in that elite cluster with him. I might have one of those names mixed up, but I think that was the case. So along with those points and assists, 29 points, 12 assists, he got 7 rebounds, 3 steals and 3 of the most incredible blocks that I've ever seen. So it was good. After missing those for a while, it was good to see him, you know, still a high flyer, still a rim protector for a 6'4 point guard, which is unparalleled. One place where he struggled was turning the ball over. And Scott Brooks said that just had to do with rhythm and kind of expecting players to be places where they weren't, or maybe, I don't know if it had to do anything with, he's trying to get to the rim and attack and then kick it out on those penetrations, but a lot of those times he's jumping up to make the pass before he fully knows what he was going to do with it.
Right.
And he's always kind of been the player that has, you know, incredible assists, but then the next play it's, you know, it might be like, all right, that was a good idea, but it turned out to be disastrous just because he thought he could rely on his athleticism and make the right play.
Or he predicted before, and then it didn't actually happen in reality.
Yeah. But the Wizards did a decent, I mean, they had, I think, 10 turnovers in the first half. Although they ended the game with 20, it seemed like they were more in control in the second half,
I definitely would agree with that. It did not feel like they got that many tonight. I don't know why, but it definitely did not feel like they got 20. Also, your stat for John Wall, I don't remember exactly what you said, but it is...
I was right, don't worry.
Okay, never mind. You were right. I couldn't remember if you read Chris Paul or not.
A couple of negatives from this game. First of all, the first quarter defense on Jaylen Brown was awful, letting him hit 5 three-pointers, 21 points.
Yes.
Otto Porter subbed out. He didn't play any of the second half. Wizard said it was basically just precautionary. Was it a left leg, left calf strain or something?
No, it was a right leg.
Lower leg injury? Was it like an ankle or something?
Double checking.
Anyway, he is, you know, as we mentioned, most likely not playing against the Magic.
It was a right lower leg strain.
Okay, who knows what exactly that means. And then Beal played 38 minutes. He looked winded, and it might just be his body language, but I saw a lot of plays where he was kind of just in the corner with his hands on the thighs waiting. And one time he was in that position and then got a handoff and hit a 3, which was a 4-point play. So, you know, maybe he was just trying to bait the defender into thinking he was tired. But
I mean, you know, they like the thing is, after the words, you know, they kind of deny it. I mean, like, nobody wants him. He doesn't want to come out and say, oh, I was tired. Like, I mean, he, you know, he's like, oh, you know, I was fine. And Brooks was saying, you know, I didn't really notice that. He's like, I wanted to get him some rest. But like,
he said he wanted to go back in the game.
Right. He also said he wanted to go back into the game. And so, like, I think that's kind of how they always are, especially with the last two games meaning so much for seeding.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he definitely did look tired, though. I mean, there were a couple moments. He got knocked down when he – I think it was in the third quarter. He was shooting a 3, and he got knocked down into the bench. And, I mean, it took him, like, a minute just to get up because he looked so exhausted.
Yeah. 38 minutes for Beal tonight. He finished 6 of 16, which is like 38%.
Right, and I think the thing that I was thinking about was I really enjoyed seeing the lineup in the fourth quarter of Sato, Beal, Oubre, Scott, and Mahimi, and it was working well for a while. And it was like, well, not that I want Porter to be injured or not that I want Beal to play all those minutes all the time, but that was a really good lineup. But I don't think we'll ever see it really that much again just because they're not going to play Beal that much. But maybe they will because they're going to be like, hey, it's the playoffs. Like, go big or go home.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a good lineup. But, yeah, I think it's just Beal's just, you know. Yeah.
After that first quarter where Boston went ahead 30-22, the Wizards scored 30 points. In the third quarter was the biggest difference. They went ahead by, you know, had a 9-point advantage, 27-18. And then they dropped 34 in that, you know, decisive fourth quarter.
Yeah.
It seemed like they put the game out of reach. It got close to...
it was a close to a 20-point lead. Yeah, we're kind of struggling with our stats here. But yeah, yeah, it was definitely close to a 20-point lead. I think the most I saw it at one point was 17.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to take a quick break now. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the implications of this victory on the rest of this long enduring playoff season. I mean, season, there's what, like 3 more months left in the regular season, something like that?
Yeah.
No, there's 1 game left, and if the Wizards win, they have a chance to move up to 6th place, which isn't ideal, but we'll get into all of the different situations and how effective this Wizards team can be without 2 of their starters here Wednesday night, second end of a back-to-back. And it's, I think it's tough, perhaps tougher to go home and road versus road than home. I don't know. Well, that's up for debate, but we'll be right back with Locked On Wizards after this word from our sponsor. Stay tuned. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Locked On Wizards. This is a podcast on everything related to the Wizards, including locker room access. We had quotes from Scott Brooks to begin the podcast, and at the end of the podcast, you're going to hear from John Wall as well, what he had to say in the locker room after the Wizards beat the Celtics, snapping the four-game losing streak for the Wizards. Everyone seemed very relieved after this game, and it kind of, you know, changes the picture. It keeps things chaotic in terms of the bottom of the Eastern Conference. So the Wizards are not going to be playing two of their starters against the Magic, who, of course, are lottery bound.
Not likely to play. That's not confirmed.
Okay.
But not likely.
That's a good catch. So here are the situations. If everybody wins on Wednesday night, all three teams are playing. The Wizards, the Bucks, and the Heat. The Bucks play against the Sixers. The Heat play the Raptors. And then the Wizards have the Magic. So if everybody wins, the Wizards still finish eighth. If the Wizards lose and anything else happens, the Wizards finish eighth. If the Milwaukee Bucks and Miami Heat split, meaning one of them wins, one of them loses, and the Wizards win, then they would be seventh place. And if both teams lose and the Wizards win, that means the Wizards move up to sixth place. Does that confuse you? Does that make any sense, Bryna?
No, it definitely makes sense, but like it makes sense, especially when you see it written down. But I mean, I know it can be a little confusing saying all that, but there's still a chance. I mean, I think it's just the most important thing is that anything is still up for grabs, but the only way the Wizards don't finish eight is they have to get a win tomorrow.
Yes, that
is like guaranteed part. Like they have to get a win in order to have a chance at six or seven.
And do you think that's going to happen, or should it be a focus? You know, is there that bigger difference playing? I can't remember if the Sixers have clinched their third seed.
No, they haven't yet.
Okay, they won their 15th in a row tonight. Yeah. Or did they play yesterday? Okay, they might play both actually. So yeah, there's a lot still up in the air. When you look at these four opponents, is there someone who you definitely don't want the Wizards playing? Would that be Cleveland?
Yeah, I don't want them to get six.
What's next? Which would be the next, like, team who you least want the Wizards to play after Cleveland?
Well, we definitely can't play whoever's in fourth, so it's between Boston or Toronto. I don't want them to play Toronto. I want them to play Boston. That's who I want in the first round. So I want us to get a seventh seed.
How would the Sixers factor into this four-team conundrum? If the Wizards win, you know,
I still want Boston first.
Okay.
Sixers.
Do you want the Sixers or Raptors, if that was the choice?
So if we're so if I'm ranking who I want first, I want Boston first, then Toronto, Sixers, Cleveland.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. I don't want to see the Sixers. I don't want to see Cleveland. Toronto, I still don't really know how I feel about Toronto. I want Boston, especially after tonight. I want Boston.
Do you think it's the right move to kind of precautiously keep Otto Porter and John Wall most likely on the bench throughout this Orlando Magic game? Wizards have proven time and time again that, you know, they're bad in back-to-back second game of – or actually earlier in the season they were always winning – what was it, losing the first game of the back-to-back and then winning second? I just think the Wizards have been – you know, so volatile. You know, they can have these big wins, and I think around Christmas time it was like similar situation. They beat the Celtics, and then they beat the Rockets right after, and then they lost to the Hawks, and I think they beat the Knicks. They were playing them, but let's focus on the present. The Wizards just lost to Atlanta Hawks, and now they've got the Orlando Magic, which is basically, you know, as bad of a team. And aside from, you know, just the playoff positioning, do you feel like this game is important in terms of momentum going into this weekend's start of the playoffs?
I definitely think it's I think it's important for momentum. I agree with Otto sitting out just because whatever – I mean, I granted Brooks said afterwards that tonight keeping him out of the second half was kind of them being cautious – but if it was enough of a problem to even, like, keep him out from starting the first or the third quarter, then I think it's enough to be like, hey, just sit out tomorrow night, whatever. Yeah. But I think with
– it is less than 24 hours from now.
Right. It's less than 24 hours from now. Otto's played – you know, obviously Otto's been around for most of the season. You know, he's put in his time. I think it's okay for him to sit out. Well, because he's coming back from his injury – and, I mean, granted, they're not going to – play back-to-backs in the playoffs, so it's not as important for that. But I just – yeah, I think it's important that Wall plays. Even if you said, hey, we're limiting your minutes, you're going to play 20 minutes. Like, even if they just – or they wanted to play him just in the first and third quarter. I just think it's important for him to get some reps and let everyone get more reps with him. And I just – I think it's important for momentum. I think it's important for Wall to play just a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't think he should sit out. But then again, I don't know. It's hard.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough time if you're coaching. One of the things that Scott Brooks says is that, you know, this last week or so, and then as you enter playoffs, like, the players are actually the ones who have it easy because after the game ends, they can just go to bed. The coaching right. staff will be up until, like, I don't know, maybe even 3 a.m., you know, right. reviewing different things, preparing for the next opponent, figuring things out, especially I feel bad for the video editors. It's got to right. be a tough job.
Well, and it's funny that Brooks brought this up because there was a really good Amin Alhassan on The Jump. What day was it? Friday? I don't know, but recently, one of the last episodes of The Jump might have even been yesterday. They were talking about that whole thing and just the idea of, you know, how tough it is, even out in the West and the East, for all the video coordinators and the coaches and things to go in and prepare for playoffs right now because nothing is set and nothing's going to be set mm-hmm. to the last night of the season, which is kind yeah. of insane that none of them are really
from
set.
From a fan's perspective, but it's right. also when you look at, you know, coaching, like this year we've seen Steve Clifford, who, you know, missed a lot of time because he was having insomnia. Tyronn Lue just came back to the Cleveland bench after right. he missed time. He was eating horribly. He was, you know, having all sorts issues, of anxiety yeah. attacks, and he's only 40 years old. So definitely a strenuous time for the coaches' bodies and minds, as well as just the players.
Right.
Yeah, I am hoping that the Wizards – I just want to see them win. And whatever else happens, it doesn't really matter. I've got to put my pecking order down too because you mentioned
yeah.
it. So I think as the Wizards just beat the Celtics, even though they're going to get Marcus Smart back, I think playing the Celtics –
they are getting Marcus Smart back?
Towards the end of the first round, yeah.
Okay, but still.
So I think Celtics would be the number one choice. And then I would like to play the Sixers because even though they've won so many games in a row, it's a very inflated winning record. A lot of them have been lottery-bound teams in these past 15, I think like 11 or 12 of them or something, or against yeah. non-playoff opponents.
But everyone on the Sixers has been playing incredible. I mean, granted, they've been against lottery teams, but they, I mean, J.J. Redick just dropped 28 points tonight. So I think the Sixers are a little bit tougher. But and we don't match up well with them. That's the other problem. That's the other reason I don't
want to
see them.
And they'll have a masked villain, too. Did you see that black mask?
I did. Yeah.
And then for me, it's playing Toronto would be third in that order of four. And finally, the Cavaliers. You know, nobody wants to face LeBron James.
Yeah.
Cool. So, yeah, that's, you know, the situation where the Wizards find themselves in terms of they've got to win to potentially move up. And they have to hope for some other shake up around, you know, the Bucks and the Heat. So we are going to come back for our final segment, and we're going to be talking about the Rookie of the Year honors and who is deserving, who's not deserving, not just this season, but in general with the rules that the NBA has in place. And then finally, you'll hear from John Wall talking about his personal experience and how he said he thought he should have been co-Rookie of the Year. So stay tuned. Noah Getzel and Bryna Kramer are coming right back. Hey, we are back. Locked On Wizards here. I'm Noah Getzel. Make sure to follow Locked On Wizards on Twitter, at Locked On Wizards, and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, lots of other places, SoundCloud, LockedOnWizards.com. While you're at it, follow Bryna, too. She is awesome on Twitter, BrynaK13. Sorry, at Bryna, BrynaK13. I'm at Noah_Getzel, GOETZEL. We are both reporters for the blog Wizards Extra, and you can find that at Wizards XTRA. That's all the plugs I'm going to put in now. Now, so what are we talking about? We are talking about Rookie of the Year honors.
Yeah.
We've had a few. Well, last year, Joel Embiid almost won Rookie of the Year. It ended up being Malcolm Brogdon for the Bucks. And Embiid only played 30 games, so that, you know, might have been a reason why he
didn't
win it.
That was the reason
yeah.
why he didn't win it.
When you look back to 2010, that 2010-2011 season, mm-hmm. John Wall had a spectacular year, but he did not win the Rookie of the Year award because Blake Griffin, who was drafted in the previous draft, sat out all of the year. He had some sort of
knee injury, or
some type of surgery, yeah. But yeah, he missed the entire season. We've got something similar. I can't remember all of the slew of injuries that Ben Simmons had last year, but he's playing marvelously this year. You know, his Sixers are probably going to be a three or four seed. They've won 15 in a row, a lot without Joel Embiid, who's, you know, obviously the best player on the team and their leader, but without him, Simmons has really picked up the slack. But then you look at Donovan Mitchell, and he wore a sweater today that said rookie and defined it, a player in the first year of a professional sports. I can't remember exactly what it said, but he was basically calling out Ben Simmons, saying, like, he had some analogy to students studying for tests. If, you know, I have a test on Friday and someone else is taking that same test but had a year to prepare for it, like, who's going to do better is basically his understanding of why he thinks that he's more deserving. Both teams have, you know, both players have led their teams to the playoffs, and John Wall, as you'll hear, mentions that, you know, with Gordon Hayward leaving the team to go to the Celtics, nobody had these expectations. Rudy Gobert was injured a long time. You've got to give Quinn Snyder a ton of credit. But how good has Donovan Mitchell been? Averaging 20.5 points, 3.7 assists, 3.7 rebounds, 1.5 steals a game, which is awesome. And then Simmons is, you know, getting close to a triple-double. LeBron has coined him the Fresh Prince. 16 points a game, 8.2 assists, 8.1 rebounds, and 1.7 steals. They're both freaks of nature, amazing wingspans. You know, they just disrupt offensively, and they're leading their teams, their up-and-coming teams, to a place that the Wizards might not be going anytime soon in terms of their upside. Do you feel like it was Donovan Mitchell went a little bit too far with his sweatshirt and his statements tonight, or should they be focused more on the playoffs versus these individual accolades? What's your take on all this, Bryna?
Well, I mean, I think – so there's a couple of things. So first of all, in terms of the sweatshirt, I mean, I think that's kind of one of the things that I love most about this league is just the pettiness and, you know, the fact that that is not – like, it is not just a Donovan Mitchell thing. Like, any other player in this league probably would have done that if this was as contested for them of a race or just – anything. I mean, we've seen Russell Westbrook do it, you know, when he trolls KD. I mean, this is something that happens in the NBA all the time, and it's one of the reasons why I love this league so much. So I actually kind of really love the sweatshirt. But I think just in terms of the Rookie of the Year debate, just as a whole, I kind of agree with Mitchell. I don't think they should be ineligible from Rookie of the Year, but I think at most, then if there's really two players just as deserving as Simmons and Mitchell, then I think at most that there should be a co-player or co-rookie of the year. If that person, if one of those people had sat out there, what should have been their real true rookie of the year?
Even if the guy who missed time is just like significantly better than anyone else in the rookie class?
No, not if they're significantly, like if it's like way, you know, way like foregone, like last year, like if Joel Embiid, I mean, because the same thing would have happened with Joel Embiid. Like, nobody was talking about the fact that Joel Embiid, you know, missed 2 years. And, you know, last year was his true rookie year or his rookie year. But, like, it was about the number of games Joel Embiid had played.
Yeah.
But last year, otherwise, it would have been Joel Embiid by far.
If he played, like, 60 games
instead of 30. Yeah, if he had played 60 games instead of 30-something that he played, I mean, we wouldn't be talking about the fact that he had missed 2 years. We were 2 years out from his true rookie year. Mm-hmm. We would have just been talking about the fact that Joel Embiid is this incredible rookie and holy crap, the NBA is in great hands.
Yeah. So you don't think the NBA needs to change the rule in terms of saying, like, a player is no longer eligible for Rookie of the Year if they spend a year with the team practicing, learning the playoffs, playbook, and all that? Like, they can still win Rookie of the Year?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, because, I mean, yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, I don't think they need to go so far as changing the rules and, like, officially. I just think it should kind of be, like, an unofficial rule by voters that, like, and I don't know who votes. I mean, I think it's the media members who vote on Rookie of the Year. I don't know. And I don't know enough about the voting in terms of the points, in terms of how it would work out to get co-rookies of the years, because it's only ever happened once with Grant Hill and Jason Kidd. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I think that's what should happen. I just think
they're both incredible. Who do you think deserves it this year? if you were to take one over the other.
Oh my gosh, if I have to pick one or the other.
I would say Donovan Mitchell because he's more of the leader of the team that's had so much turnover. You know, everyone kind of thought it would just be a down year. And it's kind of like the same situation with the Pacers. They lose their best player. Who's going to fill that gap? And there's still a bit of debate over, you know, like there's still, you know, a game left to play and some late games tonight. So nothing said in the Western Conference either. But if, like, Utah has won, they're on a 6-game winning streak. They've won 8 of 10. I'm sure the numbers are even more impressive because they had a long losing streak earlier in the season. But they are in position. They're tied with Portland right now, and they hold the tiebreaker. They're in third place. Utah Jazz team led by a rookie.
Yeah.
I mean, even though their best player is Rudy Gobert, like a rookie.
But he was out for a little
who's
bit.
Who's on a team that, you know, gave up Rodney Hood, gave up George Hill. Was he on the team? I can't remember. They made some trade and they got Jay Crowder. Yeah, there was a lot of shakeup. So it's a bunch of fresh faces, and it's incredible that the Jazz are in this position when everyone thought, okay, they lost their one all-star. What's this team going to become this season?
So yeah, no,
I've got to hand it to, in my mind, just because of the substantial role in the offense, I think Donovan Mitchell deserves a little bit more.
I think I definitely agree with all of that. I mean, I would probably pick Donovan Mitchell, but I mean, Ben Simmons is incredible, and I think – I don't know. I think it's hard because I think a lot of people want to say, well, of course, Donovan Mitchell is going to be a star in this league, but Ben Simmons is going to be a superstar. So, like, I don't know. I think it's also – I think a lot of people try to forecast what their futures in this league look like and, like, be like, well, of course Ben Simmons deserves this because he's going to be a superstar versus Donovan Mitchell just being, like, a great, you know, even star player in this league. But Ben Simmons is going to be this, like, transcending figure. So I think a lot of people try to forecast their potential – of, like, what these players' potentials are on that award, and I think that's a little wrong, too. But, yeah, I'd have to give it to Donovan Mitchell out of the two. If I'm going real, real, like, off-pick, I'm picking Andre Ingram, who made his debut tonight for the Lakers as a 32-year-old after 10 years in the G League. Yeah. He's the real rookie of the year.
I don't know if he's going to win that award.
No, I know.
If he's going to swipe everyone. But
you know,
that'd be cool.
My American University alum
oh, wow.
in me has to go with him. He's my favorite. So
well, that'll do it for us here on Locked On Wizards. Remember to listen in or subscribe wherever you check out your podcasts. We're also on Dash Radio every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday night at 9 p.m. So now here is John Wall talking about the Rookie of the Year debate and why he thinks he should have been co-Rookie of the Year back in the 2010-2011 season. Thanks so much, and have a great night, everyone. We'll be back with you Wednesday night after the Wizards Magic game.
Blake's role, your Rookie of the Year honors after he was injured that season. There's kind of a similar situation playing out this year. Do you think players should be eligible for Rookie of the Year if they were injured but, you know, still on the team the first season?
I don't know. That's the NBA rule, but, I mean, I think this Rookie of the Year is pretty interesting. I mean, nobody thought Utah would be in the position they is when they lost Gordon, those guys, and Rudy Gobert's been out a lot, and Donovan Mitchell's having a heck of a year, and then you have Ben doing what he's doing. So, in my opinion, I feel like I would be co-rookie of the year, in my opinion, but everybody has their own say-so.
You see Mitchell's hoodie?
I mean, that's how it goes when you're in the heat of a battle and you feel like you're deserving of something that you work hard for.
One more time.